Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market updates. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner with us as always to talk all things markets, University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
As we get underway today, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, so this week on the cattle side, cash fed cattle were up about 80 cents this week. Those feeder cattle markets after now what's been a full week post July 4th holiday were 2 to 6 higher this week. On the future side, the August live cattle futures contract was up 90 cents, while the August feeder cattle futures contract closed down about $3.75 this week. Driven in part at least by what were higher corn futures, that September corn futures contract was up 34 cents on the week. On the beef side of the equation, we continue to see box beef prices moving lower, down about $11.30 this week on that choice box beef price. On the hog side, higher hog prices this week. Cash barrels and gilts were up a little more than $3 this week. And the August lean hog futures contract closed up nearly $3.60 on the week. Pork was also higher this week. The pork cutout value up $3.90.
Let's talk a little bit as we talk about corn prices and what's been going on. I think we can't not mention drought conditions and heavy rain conditions in other parts of the Corn Belt. How much are we going to continue to watch closely what's going on with the crop as we're looking at the rest of the year and into early next year for cattle prices, inputs, and the bottom line there for both really cattle and hogs?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, all eyes on weather from this point forward. I think that's going to be a big driver of where we go. And it's a mixed bag. All right. So if we think about things like corn and soybeans, to me, yes, it's a lot of unevenness in terms of what the crop looks like in many of those parts of the country. Too much rain in some parts, not enough in others, flooding in others, late planted crops. So to me, all of that's a lot of unevenness. But little cooler temps this week might actually help us in terms of the yield side. So maybe more downside to feed costs from a corn and soybean standpoint moving forward. However, if that spigot shuts off between now and when we want to harvest, that forecast will certainly be off. For me on the cattle side, though, it's very clear that we're losing cows. The drought conditions that we've seen in the West and the Dakotas, as I kind of mentioned, the two areas, hasn't really changed much as we've looked. And when you look at cow slaughter, that's a double-digit percentage above year-ago levels, it continues to tell me we're getting rid of cows. And maybe down the road, that still spells some higher cattle prices. I hate to see higher cattle prices, though, happen because some producers have to liquidate herds because of dry weather.
And I've had several notifications this week of herd dispersal and liquidation sales, and my heart sinks a little bit every time I read one, and it's really been in that Dakota region that we've been talking about.
Yeah, there's nothing fun about any of that discussion, you know, I sometimes, again, will tell my Missouri producers it's an opportunity, but no one really wants to take advantage of an opportunity that's coming at the expense of somebody else who just doesn't have the pasture to continue. So it is a pretty tough time for some parts, but I do think it sets the stage for cattle markets late 2022 and we get into 2023 that could really give us much higher prices. Again, I don't want to equate this exactly to the 2012 drought, but I remember some pretty good calf prices back in 2014 that occurred as a result of the dry weather of 2012. And higher prices to me are certainly a possibility given the weather that we see today.
Let's talk weekly slaughter numbers. Last week, shortened holiday week with the 4th of July holiday. This week, we're back to a more normal type slaughter run, but we've flipped over when we talk about pork slaughter or hog slaughter compared to a year ago.
Yeah, that's right. So better runs this week, again, for back to a full week here, 653,000 head of cattle, according to USDA, will be slaughtered for the week ending July 17th. That's 78,000 more than we did last week. Again, a holiday shortened week, 7,000 more than a year ago on the cattle side. That still leaves us with year-to-date cattle slaughter 4.7% above 2020. On the hog side, 2280 million head of hogs this week. That's 357,000 more than a week ago, but 237,000 less than where we were a year ago for the week. And as you point out, we did flip over finally. We knew this was coming. As we watch through time, we're down 0.2% year to date in terms of hog slaughter.
Supply and demand was a big report that came out this week. And as we take a look at that, let's talk about meat availability as it relates to consumers.
Yes. So to me, generally, all right, so we may look at the report off at first glance and say not a lot of change, but to me, there's some positive change here from a price standpoint, at least, and that is focused on meat availability. Even for 2021, which, you know, we're now a little more than halfway through the year, USDA for 2021 reduced meat availability by about a pound per person in the July report relative to where they were in June. That's both some reductions in production, pork and chicken really leading those changes, but also some increase in exports, beef and chicken there being what led the way. So I do think that, you know, that's potentially good news. In terms of the price side, we did see them increase fed steer prices by $2.20 in the July report relative to June for 2021. But less meat supplies should be nothing but supportive in my book to where prices go. And as you look at 2022 and USDA's projections, a very similar story is happening more on the pork side with a reduction of pork production for 2022 in the July report relative to June of about 425 million pounds, kind of leading the way here. But meat availability down 1.1 pounds in 2022, again, to me, spells maybe some more optimism in terms of where we could go. The other piece of this is feed costs. We've talked about this a little bit. I go USDA generally in my book saying slightly lower feed costs in the year ahead as they lower both corn and soybean meal projections for the 21-22 crop slightly relative to where they were in June.
And it doesn't look like, or I don't expect us to see a significant drop off in exports, especially on the pork side of things. I just read before we got started today an article with Reuters. Germany's battle with African swine fever continues and has now been found in its first domestic and farm herd. So obviously that competitor is probably not going to push the U.S. out anytime soon. But how much does that heighten our awareness of preventing that disease from getting into the U.S. and disrupting what's been a pretty good run of things right now?
Yeah, you make a good point here of, you know, you think about Germany, and you and I have talked about this for several months now, where it's been in the wild herd for a period of time. And the question always was, could it jump to the domestic industry? Now that we seem to be getting confirmation that it has, that ought to heighten our concern even more here in the United States, as in my estimation, it's the wild herd that creates a problem with ASF in this country first. And whether we have stringent enough domestic production protocols in place to keep it from spreading. Maybe Germany gives us a little bit of clue here. The other thing that for me this week that jumped out is just second quarter pork production in China. I think I saw some estimates of up 20% relative to where it was a year ago. You make me go and look at what is USDA's projection of pork exports in 2022 that are flat relative to 2021. So 7.5 billion pounds of pork exports both years. And let's just remember that in 2020, we grew pork exports by 1 billion pounds. So although Germany might be a positive, that growth in China production for the second quarter could be the continued reduction in China trade that we don't like to see.
We're going to talk retail prices next. And Scott, I'm going to bring up a word that nobody really wants to talk about or hear about, inflation. is something that we've been tiptoeing around a little bit and is seemingly showing up more and more in our conversations.
Absolutely. And so I think the big question here is how long does inflation stay with us? And we'll talk about that in a second. But you look at the data, overall consumer price inflation up 5.3% relative to a year ago. That's the biggest year-over-year increase we've seen in consumer prices since 2008. Houses, fuel, et cetera, being some of those areas where we've seen a lot of increase. Food inflation, although up, muted really relative to what was some pretty strong food inflation last year. So to me, we've got a lot of bottlenecks on the supply side that is creating some of the upside in terms of consumer prices. Do we work some of those bottlenecks out as we move forward, or do we continue to see strong inflation? I'm not sure I'm ready to put my pin in the ground here yet to say which way this falls, but I guess certainly some of the issues with supply shortages ought to continue to work themselves out and maybe help us a little bit in terms of inflation as we finish 2021 here.
We're going to round out this week and talk a little bit about consumer sentiment, and that word is going to come up again in our conversation talking about that. Inflation seems to be heightening concerns in consumers.
Yeah, that's right. So we have some preliminary July data out of the Consumer Sentiment Index. It's actually showing a month-over-month decline of 5.5% in that data. I will make sure to say, yet that July data would be 11.4% above where we were a year ago. Inflation is, certainly weighing, I think, on the consumer sentiment side of the equation as well. I think some concerns by consumers. Do I want to spend right now, current dollars, or do I want to save them? Do I spend them trying to make sure it's a hedge against the future inflation is coming, or do I want to continue to try to save a portion of them? I think there's a lot of uncertainty. And, I might add just some of the cases of COVID-19 that we're seeing now increasing in many parts of the country, I think, has added some uncertainty to where we go as we look ahead. So just reminds us we're not done with COVID-19. I don't think we probably find ourselves back in the shutdown, slowdown situation that we had a year ago. But I think there's more concern than we've seen for a while in terms of how we continue to operate here in the United States relative to COVID-19.
Scott, that'll do it for us today. A busy week and a busy Friday for us next week. What are we looking at report-wise?
Yeah, so we start early in the week with cold storage, and by the end of the week, we get to talk about livestock slaughter, which, back to our hog story here, I'm curious to see what year-to-date hog slaughter looks like out of livestock slaughter report coming for us. And then at the end of the week, we'll get a mid-year cattle inventory report, which might give us a little bit of clue of what's going on in some of those drought-stricken areas of the country. And we'll also finish with cattle on feed next Friday.
All right, Scott, sounds great. Good to see you. And we look forward to our conversation next week.
Happy July weekend for you, Megan.
Happy July weekend. It is a happy July weekend. We closed on our new house today and really get to embrace our rural roots in central Kentucky. So definitely a reason to celebrate for us. To have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning, go to brownfieldagnews.com. You can also submit questions and comments, and to check out some podcasts in your spare time, if you have some of that, go to brownfieldagnews.com/podcast. Have a great weekend. Stay cool. And I hope you get rain if you need it, and not as much rain if you don't, because it is definitely a tale of two corn belts right now. We'll see you next week. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.